Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. In this podcast, we'll explore trends, issues, and events surrounding Lutheran education. In each episode, we'll invite educational experts to shed light on topics that support educators, administrators, and staff. Thank you for listening to LSEM's Lutheran Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. My name is Rich Schumacher. I am the Senior Director of Operations at LSEM and your host for the podcast. And today we are delighted to have the Reverend Dr. Ryan Peterson join us on the podcast. Ryan is the Vice President of Administration, serving at Concordia University in Ann Arbor. Ryan, thank you for the time and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Rich. It's great to be here and looking forward to our chat today.
All right. So Vice President of Administration at Concordia University Ann Arbor. I'll start off with a great Martin Luther style question. What does that mean?
Yes. What does it mean? That's a really good question. It means a lot of variety in my day. It might be helpful as we, even as I answer that question, to think about our overall Concordia structure and relationship. I'm a part of the Concordia University, Wisconsin, and Ann Arbor cabinet or executive leadership team. By that, the reason I put those two together is that we are legally one entity, Concordia University, with two distinct residential campuses, a campus in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee on the shores of Lake Michigan, up on the bluff. And then, of course, our other campus where I live and work most of my days here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, according to Forbes magazine, the number one college town in America. And what a joy it is to have one of our Concordia campuses in that Big Ten college environment. So I get the privilege of serving as the chief executive or lead administrator, living, breathing, playing, serving, teaching, preaching, leading on the Ann Arbor campus. And so every day I wake up thinking about our Concordia mission and get the opportunity to ensure that here in Ann Arbor, that mission is being fully realized. So I'm the on-the-ground guy in Ann Arbor.
All right. And so I imagine growing up as a young guy, you had in mind, when I grow up, I want to be the head of a college campus. That was probably, when you were in third grade writing that thesis for your teacher, that was probably the title. But in reality, how did you get here? What were your intentions? What were you looking to do in ministry? And what brought you to this place?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Thank you for asking. Actually, ironically, Rich, when I was in first or second grade, I did tell my teacher that I wanted to be the president of the United States. But the age, that minimum age of 35 seemed so far off. Now that I have eclipsed that age and am 41, I don't have that same desire that maybe I had in first or second grade. But actually, growing up, I saw myself doing a number of different things. Frankly, full-time ministry was not one of them until about my freshman year of high school. There were a number of events that happened in our family's life, one of which was my dad, who was a businessman and a CEO of a company, actually sold his portion of the company and went to the seminary to pursue pastoral ministry. And that situation had a profound impact on my life as a 15-year-old, as I began to see what he was going through and what the Lord was calling him to do. But then it was actually the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school where I went on a mission trip, ironically, through Most Ministries, which is based here in Ann Arbor, used to have their offices on our Concordia Ann Arbor campus. Through Most, I traveled with a group that went to Latvia. I was 16. I was the youngest person on the trip. And that also had a profound impact on me. And I came back from that trip believing that the Lord was leading me into into pursuing full-time ministry. And so junior year of high school, you begin kind of a more serious college search. And so I began my college search looking at schools that would prepare me in that direction. The Lord led me to Concordia University, Wisconsin, where I did my undergrad. And again, this may sound a bit crazy, but when I was an undergrad student, had a great experience as a college student, had fun, enjoyed it. It was really tremendous. I actually began to think, wouldn't it be cool to someday serve at a Concordia, maybe as a professor or some other role? I did not think vice president of administration. I don't think that existed, but you know, I thought it'd kind of be cool. Graduated from Concordia, moved to St. Louis along with my wife, Christy, and began graduate work at Concordia Seminary St. Louis. At that time, I got really involved in a local church through a fieldwork experience, through a part-time job, and just really fell in love with the local church and said, you know, there's nothing better than this type of ministry. And so honestly, that idea of higher ed kind of floated to the back of my brain. It was not front and center anymore. It was still back there, but it was buried pretty deep. Loved serving as a pastor, and as God would have it, while I was serving as a pastor in the St. Louis area, there began this really interesting relationship, unbeknownst to me, really, between my alma mater, Concordia University of Wisconsin, and Concordia University, Ann Arbor. And that all bubbled up into what became then the joining together. And ultimately, as of 2013, again, one university with two residential campuses. In that period, the president, Pat Ferry, who was my president when I was that undergrad student at Concordia, Wisconsin, reached out to me about an opportunity to serve as the campus pastor and assistant professor of theology at the Ann Arbor campus at CUAA. I loved pastoring. Buried way back here was still that desire to be in Christian higher education. And so it seemed like the Lord was really bringing that together and calling me to it. So we moved up to Ann Arbor in the summer of 2013. I served as campus pastor, taught as a part of the theology department. Really, really loved that. What a joy. You know, the way I describe it, it's like every day is a Sunday. My favorite day as a pastor was Sunday when, you know, everyone's together, right, in worship and in Bible study. Well, on a college campus like ours, that's every day. Not so much in the summer, not so much at breaks, but on a day on this Wednesday, that's what it feels like. Right. And had the opportunity to serve in that way until a number of years ago when I was asked to kind of move down the hall into this role now overseeing the campus. So maybe a long-winded answer, but gives you maybe a bit of the glimpses that I saw along the way.
Oh, that's great. And again, we're going to continue to talk a little bit about that that relationship, how the merger mm-hmm. Works now as the joint campuses. But you mentioned Pat Ferry. Talk a moment, because I'm sure a lot of the folks listening in, especially the CUW grads out there, have a relationship with Pat Ferry, because he really seemed to be very active on that campus and had, you know, relationships with a lot of the students. So just from your perspective, mm-hmm. talk a little bit about Pat and what he meant to you in your ministry and what he's meant to literally hundreds of Lutheran educators serving out in the field.
Yeah, boy, you know, I'm honored to talk about him because he is not only a dear friend and a brother to me, but a real mentor in my life. And I know has served in that role for countless thousands of other people. In fact, you know, President Ferry served 24 years as president of Concordia, 30 as a part of the Concordia team. And over those 24 years, as I recall, statistically, over 30,000 graduates
wow.
had been influenced directly and indirectly by President Ferry. So it's just remarkable. My wife actually was a freshman at Concordia, Wisconsin, President Ferry's first year as president. He was elected in July of 1997, and she came in the fall of 97. I was a student there starting in the fall of 1999. So in the early years, in fact, I actually had President Ferry as a professor. He was still teaching some classes Tuesday, Thursday afternoons, history of Christianity. Of course, his background, he's a historian by training. His PhD is in that. And so I had the opportunity to see him not only as a president, but as a professor. But then as you know, life went on, as I graduated and moved on with my life, I began to see him as one who continued to have a profound impact on my life. Even while I was away, I saw myself as a Concordian, as a student of Concordia, as a fan of Concordia, and most grateful for the mission of Concordia. And then obviously, you know, coming back as a part of the team at his invitation and as the at the board's call, we continued to grow closer. And I've just been so blessed by him as a friend. You know, some on this podcast might know, but President Ferry, as many know, is a huge runner. And his running inspired me to more fully, more seriously get into running. And so whenever he'd be on the Ann Arbor campus, we would schedule runs together. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, he and I ran a 20 miler together. We're both training for marathons here in a couple of weeks. And so we ran our 20 miles together. And believe it or not, we talked for 18 of those 20 miles, which is a long, long time. You know, no music, no radio, just two guys talking. And at about mile 18, it got a little quieter until almost mile 19 when I said, "Hey, Pat, can we walk for just like 10 seconds? I just need like 10 seconds to walk." And anyhow, I think even that is symbolic of the impact that he's had, certainly on my life, but on so many others. He's a churchman. He's a true man of God. And what an inspiration to so many of us.
We're talking with Ryan Peterson from Concordia Ann Arbor on Lutheran Education Podcast. So Ryan, again, you've mentioned, again, Concordia Ann Arbor, Concordia, Wisconsin, one university, two separate campuses. And again, it's a good tagline, but if you could, without spilling a lot of the details, how does it work? How do decisions get made? What's the overall structure? And when you have questions and need answers, you know, to whom do you go for answers and such? How is it all structured? How does it work?
Yeah, no, good question. And I hope that maybe some of this conversation and insights is helpful, especially for fellow educators and administrators, as we think about the future of our Lutheran schools at every level. You know, I serve in higher ed, but get the opportunity to, you know, go to chapels at, you know, high schools and grade schools and everything else. So, you know, we do clearly, we have one board of regents. And of course, you know, in our governance model, we have one board. We don't have separate boards for the campuses, one board with one chairman, who has one employee, the president of the university. And of course, then at the president's leadership and discretion, there is a cabinet. And that cabinet, you know, is a combination of executive vice president, senior vice presidents, and vice presidents who serve as a part of that team. You know, we serve together, we meet together. For example, you know, I know we're recording this on a Wednesday. I just came out of that weekly cabinet meeting where we discussed issues that absolutely connect to both of our campuses. Now, not everything is equal, right? There are some unique situations on the Mequon campus that may not apply, and the same is true in Ann Arbor. And so, sure. I really am grateful for the proverb, you know, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed, right? So it's good to surround yourself in the council of many. And so we do see ourselves as one large team. Now, frankly, I tend to wear a lot more red than I do blue, you know, because I'm serving directly on the Ann Arbor campus. And yet, when I go out and about to, you know, various church meetings or conferences, et cetera, I'm speaking on behalf of both, and that's true of other leaders as well. Now, more locally, of course, there are leaders on the Ann Arbor campus, dean of students, other academic leaders, entire faculty, et cetera, that I work with shoulder to shoulder, day in and day out. But my role as the vice president here at Ann Arbor, I believe, is really to be the key connector, communicator, and collaborator. The connector, connect the dots for people, especially given our unique structure. We're certainly Concordia, Ann Arbor, but we're a part of something that's so much more. And I often need to remind people of that. To be the key communicator, to be one who speaks on behalf of the campus and on behalf of the university. And then finally, to be the key collaborator. In a meeting like the cabinet meeting, I need to ensure that various aspects of the whole university, including our Ann Arbor campus, are considered as we make decisions. Now, I report directly to the president. So, for many years, I reported directly to President Ferry. Even as campus pastor, I reported directly to President Ferry, because that relationship between the president and the campus pastor, we're a Lutheran higher education institution. That's critical, our worship life, our spiritual life together. But now, still in this role, I report to the president as well. And as of right now, we have an interim president as we are in the search right now for a new president.
So I guess two things. First of all, if there's anyone out there who is a seamstress, who could put together a combination Cardinal Falcon suit coat for Ryan, please send your credentials to the podcast and we'll forward those on to him.
Right. Half blue, half red.
Absolutely. So that way you could wear those to CIT and those other very important events.
Exactly.
But then secondly, as you see that merger, and again, you've been around for most of that time now, mm-hmm. the two campuses have come together. What's probably, if you could pick one thing that really has blossomed over the course of that time, one thing that has really been of benefit for both campuses as a result of this, what would that be?
I would say that it is the shared vision that we are a part of something more. We're a part of something more. No longer can we see ourselves solely by, again, what we see right in front of us. Because 300 plus miles the other direction is another campus where, by God's grace, that same mission is going forward. So now the impact of Concordia has just expanded. Not only out of the state, but regionally into another time zone, and with a different expression of that same mission. The campuses are not perfect mirrors of each other, right?
Right.
If I were on the Mequon campus today, I would be walking halls, walking outside. I'd go to chapel. The chapels look different. The formats, and styles can sometimes be a little different. Obviously, size is very different. The Mequon campus has more undergraduate students and has a very robust graduate program. Here in Ann Arbor, we've seen tremendous growth in our undergraduate programs. Even in the last 5 years, we're the fastest growing school in the state of Michigan, publics or privates. That's phenomenal. We don't have the huge graduate school in Ann Arbor that they do on the Wisconsin campus. But we're beginning to change that. We've made a deliberate investment in graduate healthcare. We continue to look to grow our graduate school of education, our graduate school of business. All these areas we need to continue to expand. Certainly, if someone came to Concordia Ann Arbor 10 years ago, the actual grounds do look different. There's a football stadium on the north side of Geddes Road, but there's a lot that looks the same. The chapel is still the center of campus. That's still a highlight of the day. Our faculty, our Christ-centered faculty who commit themselves to the mission that we have, that has not changed. The the chapel bell is still ringing. You know, it's such an amazing reminder that though we've, you know, added more academic programs, though we've added more students, the real change that happens every day is actually in the lives of our students. And that gets to happen here and there and other places.
And again, that's where I wanted to go with this. We do these other places as we talk with Dr. Ryan Peterson. So you mentioned how it really brought both campuses into a place where they had to look beyond themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of Lutheran ministries out there, whether it is a small parish in a very remote part of the country, whether it's a large thriving church with a school, you know, all sorts of different ministries that the LCMS has. And one of the challenges that I think we all face to a certain level is, again, looking at ourselves as what can we be that is more than what we currently are. And the trap is always numbers. If we could just get 5 more students, if we could just get 3 more families, if we could have 2 more baptisms, and we tend to focus on those, you know, not to mention if we could get 5 more dollars. Mm-hmm. So those numbers tend to drive us, and they're important. But ministry, mission, the spreading of the word of Christ's forgiveness and salvation through his death and resurrection, those are the key things that we do. And as we educate students, as we build relationships, as we feed the hungry, as we do all of these different things and do them very well, those can tend to become the thrust of what we focus on and not so much that ministry. So all of that to get to my question for you, how can the mission of Concordia, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor in this capacity and what you've learned through this process, how could that inspire other ministries and other settings within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to look to do similar things and not necessarily merge? Mm-hmm. If it's appropriate, perhaps merge or collaborate, partner with other ministries to be able to better meet the needs that are out there. What do you think?
Yeah, really, really good question. You know, it's become more comforting and more clear to me over these years that it's really important that we, you know, that we speak a really consistent language. You know, it's often been said that with no margin, there's no ministry. So you can't ignore the stewardship side of this, right? And you know, to be frank, I mean, it's no secret. There was a stewardship issue as the relationship between Wisconsin and Ann Arbor began to, you know, come into fruition. There were some significant challenges on the Ann Arbor campus that had occurred. At the same time, there was a different set of challenges and opportunities on the Wisconsin campus. God and God's people then, God working through his people, began to bring that together. I believe, and this is language that I use quite often, that we should be Christ-centered, mission-driven, student-focused. Okay, we're not mission-centered, we're Christ-centered, Christ first in everything. And we're mission-driven. We're not tuition-driven. Many small private schools in higher ed, I would say maybe private, you know, maybe not Lutheran, but others are tuition driven. We're mission driven. Our mission drives us. And we're student focused. That's the real privilege of serving at a school like Concordia, or, you know, I think for those who are in secondary education or, you know, elementary ed or middle school, what a joy, you know, in our schools. We can be very student focused, but we are, and we must be. We must be data informed. We're not data driven, we're data informed. So we look at the numbers. You know, you better believe that in the month of May, June, July, every week I'm getting reports, I'm looking, I'm watching, you know, not only retention, but new student enrollment, overall enrollment, et cetera. You know, as we're now moving into the fall, the final quarter, if you will, of 2021, There are a lot of advancement numbers that I'm watching. So we are very data driven. You know, I want to know what our student satisfaction survey says so that we can be informed and we can address the gaps and the holes and celebrate at the same time the successes that we've had. And we are tuition dependent. Now, this could lead probably to 10 more questions about the future of higher education. At this point, Concordia, like many schools, like probably many of our high schools, our elementary schools, we are tuition dependent. Let us not be tuition driven. Let's be mission driven, but we are tuition dependent. And so one of our challenges will be, how do we not live in that state forever, right? It's okay to be there right now, but you know, I often say every year we start with zero. We start with zero students. And that's very sobering. And frankly, it's very scary to think about it in that way. It's like, oh no. But that's the reality of it. So, you know, again, the key phrase is mission-driven, Christ-centered, student-focused, but we are data-informed. And at this point, we are tuition-dependent.
All right. We're going to take a short break here for a couple of commercials that we do, because we are also commercial-driven.
Yes.
we'll step back here in just a second, but we're going to continue the conversation with Reverend Dr. Ryan Peterson from Concordia University Ann Arbor in just a moment. But we'll take a short break. You are listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Lutheran Special Education Ministries is an organization committed to serving schools, churches, and families to advance the success of children who have learning needs. Our commitment to this mission began with the opening of the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit. Over the years, our ministry has expanded, and today LSEM is proud to serve in Lutheran schools across the country. But as our ministry has grown, our commitment to helping students succeed academically in an environment where they can also grow spiritually is as strong as ever. So if your church or school is looking for professional development for your faculty, information to share with struggling families, or for a ministry partner to support an existing resource room or start a new one, LSEM is ready to help you meet your specialized learning goals. For more information about how LSEM can help you build brighter futures for your students, please contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. That's www.luthsped.org.
And welcome back to the Lutheran Education Podcast. We are continuing our conversation with the Vice President of Administration at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Reverend Dr. Ryan Peterson. Ryan, the question that a lot of church workers have in mind, whether it's a teacher in the field, and certainly a lot of administrators, is where is this next generation of church workers coming? Again, many of us graduated from Concordias, but we see a field where now more and more of our educators are taking alternate paths to our Lutheran school classrooms. How do we look when it comes to the numbers that we're drawing, and what can we really do as a synod entirely? And you know, from your corner of it at higher education level, what can we do to get more church workers into our classrooms and into our churches?
Yeah, this certainly is a, you know, I would say it's greater than a concern for the church. It's a bit of a crisis for the church at this point. You know, when I was an undergraduate at Concordia, Wisconsin, there were probably 30 or 40 in my class alone who were pre-seminary students. I entered the seminary in 2003 at St. Louis. And as I recall, don't quote me on the numbers, but I recall we had 160 plus new students that were coming in as a part of the track to ordination at that time. Those numbers are very different today. And candidly, the numbers are much lower here on our Ann Arbor campus, as they are on any of our Concordia campuses. Now, what, only 15 to 20 years later. So it has changed very, very quickly. You combine that with the number of retirements that are happening, both for teachers, but also for pastors. And again, it is a bit of a crisis, one that requires the attention of the entire church. The Concordias are certainly a huge part of that. It is really important that our Concordia campuses be, I'm going to use the term competitive, in our recruitment of students. not necessarily competitive with one another. You know, if a student goes to Concordia St. Paul, praise be to God, and they're going to receive an excellent education there. But to be competitive with really recruiting and offering opportunities that work for families, because families sit around the dinner table and they have these conversations, they crunch the numbers, they wonder how they can make it work, especially when a student does, have a sense that the Lord might be leading them into full-time ministry. But we can't do it alone, right? This has been the conversation I'm grateful for in the church. Students who are maybe in elementary school or high school, because it does start that young, need to see church workers who are passionate about what they do. I really believe it's important that we share the joy that is ours in Christ, the joy that we can have in ministry. Certainly ministry is hard. It's very, very hard, right? We can't downplay that at all. But there is great joy in the ministry. And as President Emeritus of Concordia Seminary St. Louis, Dale Meyer has said, it's a great time to be the church. And I do believe that to be true, because we simply can't predict where things might go and how ministries might look in the next 1 to 2 decades. So what an opportunity to be a part of what the Lord is doing through schools and through churches. So specifically for, Concordia, we're going to continue to offer a thorough and robust Lutheran Teaching Diploma program. The same is true of our pre-seminary program. The same is true of our family life program. Same is true of our church music program. Even in the past 7 or 8 years, we've added a worship arts component to our church parish music program that has been really, really well received. And, we continue to prepare students who can play the organ, but many of these students can play the organ and the piano and play bass. And we want them trained in technology, because as they enter into a church, of course, they might be the one to then train the trainers who are running the soundboard, leading through slides, whatever it might be. So we need to pay attention to the needs of churches so that we can adequately prepare students for it. And that includes then a close relationship with our districts. Here in Michigan, we are really, really blessed to have the support of a Michigan district. Of course, starting with President Meyer, but all the way through the staff and vice presidents and entire team of the Michigan district. They love our Concordia, and it's great to have that type of relationship. And I would hope and pray the same across all of our Concordias.
Another thought on that, it seems that, again, the answer we oftentimes hear is, we need teachers to be encouraging our students who are coming up to talk to those kids who they see that might have that calling, that they see that might have that skill set that could be developed to be a pastor, to be a teacher as they grow older. But I'll couch this as my own opinion, so that way it doesn't get you or anyone else in any trouble. Yeah. But I think one of the things that is most effective in relaying that, because not every teacher is comfortable having that conversation, and I can respect that. I still hope that they're able to have those conversations and find ways to make that encouragement. But I think one of the best ways that we can demonstrate it is by modeling it. So that way, when kids are in the buildings in our schools, when families are in our churches, and they're seeing the interactions between the principal and the staff, when they're seeing the interactions between teachers and their colleagues, or the pastor and the worship team, that they see joy.
Yes.
They see passion for ministry, that they see compassion and empathy for those people who are walking in their doors seeking an education, seeking a safe place, but also seeking Christ.
Yes. If
they can see that and the impact that it's having there, that can speak so loudly. And with some of the pressures that all of our ministries are facing in so many ways, between finances, between enrollment numbers, between worldwide pandemics and all the other things that we're facing. If we can continue to demonstrate clearly the love of Christ living in us and the Holy Spirit working through us, I think that paints such a marvelous picture and would intrigue a lot of our kids. That's something I want to be a part of.
Yeah, amen. Rich, that was true for me. I saw Marty Knoll when I was in elementary school and middle school. Marty is now with the Lord. I saw that in Paul Barr, who was the principal of the high school that I attended, Milwaukee Lutheran High School. And then I saw it in people like Dan Pavla, Dr. Dan Pavla, who's professor of New Testament at Concordia, Wisconsin, now my colleague. But I saw it in him when I was a student. I saw joy as he taught and engaged with students. And certainly, of course, I saw that in President Ferry as well. And seeing it in those people has inspired me. And I know it's true for many of the other graduates of our institutions. They could probably list those influential people along the way. And again, what a joy. What a joy if we could be a part of that for the next generation.
So an interesting post. I don't know if you spend much time on Facebook, the Luth Ed page on Facebook. It's a great place for a lot of Lutheran educators to come and share ideas and thoughts. But one just the other day kind of struck me. And I thought, hey, I'm talking to Ryan Peterson in a couple of days, so I'm going to throw this past him just to get his thoughts on this topic from the higher ed perspective. The person posted, I think that every Concordia, meaning the higher ed level of our synod, every high school, elementary school, and preschool needs to review with all workers what it means to receive a call and be a called worker. Mm-hmm. Seems like a little bit of a loaded statement, probably based on perhaps some incident that may have caused that to be a response that the person chose to put up there. But I just wanted to give you the opportunity to say, what does Concordia Ann Arbor, Concordia, Wisconsin, what do they do to help prepare church workers to be the best, most effective church worker and to understand that concept of the call?
Yeah, no, great question, because it certainly is our responsibility in the preparation of professional church workers to do that. And so, of course, as you would expect me to say, that is a part of our curriculum, right? I mean, that is a part of the coursework on our campuses to prepare students with a truly biblical and important understanding of the call, you know, of the divine call to which they might receive. But then beyond that, I think it's critical, and I'm confident that this happens, though, you know, I can't speak how this happens everywhere, but through the, what I would call the less formal ways, you know, the pre-seminary club or the Christian church workers club or the early childhood club or, you know, whatever it might be, some of those more informal opportunities where students have to just sit down with the called worker who is overseeing their program and just talk to them about that. I think those are really, really meaningful moments. On top of that, I would say one of the areas where we can continue to grow, because I hear this from graduates, we need to continue to help graduates make that transition from living in an environment where, you know, in some ways you're going to class with your friends, you're eating with your friends, you might even be living with your friends, to a call where now you're in a place you've never been, around people you don't know, with no one to eat with, right? And yet the Lord has called you to that place. So no way do we want to, you know, negate that call, but how do we, like, just very practically help students make that transition? Because it's like the joy of the May commencement, bam, the U-Haul gets packed and you're on your way to, you know, Oklahoma, right? How do we prepare students for that? We can't fully prepare them, but I mean, what are we really sharing with them about being very honest about the struggles they're going to face? Frankly, probably the loneliness of the first few months you know, being almost feeling displaced, even though they're called. Those are things we need to keep doing and do better.
Excellent. And I would imagine, I didn't go through the pre-sem program myself, but I would imagine even for a seminarian going off to St. Louis or going off to Fort Wayne, if not married, being the single guy at seminary, because again, so many of the guys come in and they have a family, a young family that they've started. So I would assume a similar reaction even on that side of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if married or recently married, again, you know, that's a different season of life. They're not in college anymore, right? You're not an undergrad. And so the tone is a bit different.
All right. We're talking with Ryan Peterson. It is the end of September, heading into early October when this will get posted. So you're about what? Reaching that?
Yeah, about a third of the way, almost a third of the way through the fall semester already.
So what I want to do here with the last couple of minutes we've got left with you is just give you a chance. Tell us about CUAA. What's going on campus right now? What's new? What's exciting? What's happening? How's the football team doing? All those different types of things that perhaps alumni might want to know, but also perhaps that some potential incoming students in the years to come who might be listening to this because one of their called workers who's listening to it caught the hint and decided to share it, would have shared with them. So what's happening on campus? Just let us get a feel of what's going on at 4090 Geddes Road.
Yeah. Well, Rich, I'm excited to say, you know, maybe first to our alumni, your alma mater is doing great. That's what I want to say to the alumni of Concordia University Ann Arbor. Your alma mater is doing great. There were some years where, you know, I think there were a lot of questions about the future of Concordia. That's not a question right now. Your alma mater is doing great. Our enrollment continues to be strong in the midst of a challenging higher education market. I've mentioned our growth trajectory, but I do want to say to everyone, we're not done yet. You know, we are not simply saying, well, that was a nice little run. Let's kind of settle in and make sure we're right-sized accordingly. We want more students, not fewer, to experience our Christ-centered mission. And so we will continue to add more academic programs. We're in the midst of that right now. You know, we're adding occupational therapy and physical therapy at our North building, and that's under construction right now. That nearly 80,000 square foot building will be completely renovated and finished within the next few months. And we look forward to having a kind of a re-grand opening of that building in the spring as we show off those new spaces. Those are spaces where people can learn and grow and live in our mission. On our central campus, you know, it is the livelihood of a college campus right now. I will say this fall feels so different than last fall. You know, we don't have gathering restrictions at this time. We are wearing masks indoors, but we're in Michigan in the fall and people are outside a lot. You know, they're sitting on the picnic tables, they're playing Frisbee, et cetera. For our alumni, chapel still happens every single day. It's at 10:30 in between classes that end at 10:20, start up again at 11:05. We continue to see students come to Concordia, some of whom come from you know, Lutheran backgrounds or other Christian backgrounds, others who come with no faith background at all. And so we've been able to, you know, really have a front row seat at life transformation and life change as students are baptized or take a next step towards a first ever mission experience. Opening and reading the Bible for the first time in our REL 100 intro to the Bible class. We get to see all that's happening on campus. You know, we have a number of, you know, what I would call enhancement projects going on. You know, we just renovated our Academic Resource Center. We've made a couple of minor enhancements in our dining hall and the CAF. The football team is doing great right now. As of this podcast recording, ranked fifth in the nation in the NAIA. We've got a couple of home games coming up the first three weekends in October. So if you hear this and you're in the area, or even if you're not, we'd love to see you at a home game. Homecoming is October 9th, 2021. So certainly would welcome everyone to participate in that day as well. So I would say that there's a palpable energy on campus right now. It's good to be together. It's good to be at full capacity in so many ways. You know, we're not a perfect campus. You know, I don't want to paint some kind of Pollyanna view. I have an email inbox long enough to, you know, keep me busy with all the challenges and struggles that we go through, which I know every teacher and administrator listening to this can certainly resonate with. But that's okay. It's okay because we believe in our mission, and every one of those challenges is worth it for the sake of our mission, which again, now in our 59th academic year at Concordia Ann Arbor, continues with vibrancy and energy. And so, you know, we know that there are many challenges ahead for higher ed. That could be a topic for another day, but we are eager to face those, and we're eager to work through them. And frankly, we want to buck the trends that we see in a lot of places in order to keep sharing this mission that God has given to us. So go Cardinals.
All right. And we will leave it there. Can't think of a better way to end it. So Ryan, thank you so very much. Really appreciate you fitting us into your schedule. I know you're a busy man, a lot of hats that you're wearing on the campus there, but thank you for the work that you're doing and for the work that everyone at CUA is doing to prepare this next generation of leaders in the church and in the world. And again, thank you for taking time to join us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you. And thank you, LSCM, for all of the really important, vital work that you do for schools everywhere.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And also thanks to the man behind the scenes, Dave Plonke, our producer. If you need anything in terms of brand strategies, apparel, creative design, look up him at righthookbrand.com. That's righthookbrand.com. Someday Dave's going to have a commercial. Until he does, I'm going to keep promoting his work here in the podcast. But I'm very appreciative of that. And again, thank you for listening. We will see you again on the next episode. But until then, thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. To hear future episodes, please subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. For more information on this episode's topic or any other questions regarding Lutheran education or Lutheran Special Education Ministries, please feel free to contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.